Pray with me. Jesus, thank you that you are friend of sinners, which means you're our friend. Pray that you would send your spirit through your word and through my words, that they might be yours and you might encourage us and draw us closer to the one who died for us. In his name, amen. So I don't know what, as you read through this Romans 5 and it says things like rejoice in our sufferings, what comes to mind for you? What that's been in your life, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a divorce or a loss of relationship or loss of ability or loss of sight or getting laid off, or I don't know what form that's taken in your life. It could even be the loss of freedom, which means it could be having the car keys taken away by your children. So my dad and I had this conversation last week. He was telling me about someone in his church deciding to give up the keys, and I said, oh, I better seize the opportunity to begin this conversation early. He's only 66, but, you know. So I said, hey, Dad, just so you know that when that day comes, it's way easier if you willingly give those things up. And he said, fat chance. And he said, you will pry them from my cold, dead hands. I said, well, that went well. So I don't know what form suffering has taken in your life, but I think and hope these words from Romans will shine some light on it for you and for me today. Two things that I want to talk about is verse 1 and verse 3. I already told you. Verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the one thing we hold. The other thing is verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings. So those two things, we'll get to each. First, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the gospel, plain and simple. That's the good news, that the biggest problem in your life has already been solved. Your relationship with God has been renewed. Your sin has been forgiven. You have peace with God. You are freed every moment of every day from wondering what God thinks about you. If God loves you, if you've done enough for God, or how God feels about you, you're freed from worrying about that. God loves you enough to make peace with you through Jesus. It's done. It's taken care of. And there's that word, bit of a faithy word, justified. Since we have been justified, some of you maybe have heard this before, but pick apart words, sometimes they tell you what they mean. Just if I'd. It's just if I'd never sinned. That's one meaning. Just if I'd never sinned. Because Jesus died and rose for you, you are in Christ. God looks at you and God looks at me just if I'd never sinned. But also, just if I'd always obeyed. You see, Jesus was perfect. He lived the perfect life, had the perfect record, perfectly kind and faithful and perfectly cared for the poor. Jesus' holiness, Jesus' perfection, all of that is given to you by faith. Just if I'd been perfect. So justified means just if I'd never sinned and just if I'd always been perfect. You've been given that in Jesus. Since you've been justified by faith, you have peace with God. You don't have to wake up any day and wonder what God thinks of you. You have peace with God. That's the first thing. And the second, we can move through the more difficult part of the reading. Through Jesus, we have obtained access to faith by this grace, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's verse 2. Then verse 3 says, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. So yes, that's the harder part. Verse 2 starts, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Sure. Yes, that makes sense. Rejoicing in glory, that's great. But then you get to verse 3, there's a bit of a tall ask. We rejoice in our sufferings? Huh? I'm not so sure. How easy is that for you? How easy is it to rejoice in your suffering? Do you rejoice in your limitations? Do you rejoice when your body doesn't work like it did 20 or 30 years ago? Do you rejoice in your chemotherapy? Do you rejoice in your depression? Do you rejoice in your suffering? If we're honest, and if I'm honest, that doesn't come naturally, I'm not so sure. So what's going on here? If we ever are going to get to the place where Paul talks about that there's even the possibility that we might sit in a hard spot and rejoice in God, it's going to be because we remembered the first thing. You have been justified by faith. You have peace with God. That's the only way we're ever going to get to a hard place and say, God, you are still good and you still love me, because we know that God loves you. Have you ever noticed that when some people face hard times, it can make them bitter? Have you seen that in someone? They go through a really hard season, and whether it's cancer or long-term illness or family tragedy or whatever it is, and it turns them bitter. While on the other hand, you've seen people go through a very tough season, and the opposite happens. They become sweeter and more kind and more compassionate and more sensitive to others. Have you noticed that? That suffering can be a bit of a wedge for all of us. That for some, it makes us more kind and more humble and more caring and more sweet. And others of us, it can make us bitter and cold and resentful. Why is that? Well, I'm sure there are a number of reasons, but I think one of them has to do with how we think of God. Do you think God owes you? Or do you think God has given you everything at the cost of his own life and loves you that much that that's how he would make peace with you? You see, if you think that when you are good and when you're obedient and when you give and pray and you're present in worship, that God is more happy with you and you earn brownie points with God, what happens when you aren't those things? What happens when you fail? What happens when you don't feel like praying or worshiping or giving? You probably think God is not happy with you. So what happens when you have some real hard times or real suffering? You probably think God is really mad at you. And if you think that your relationship with God depends on you doing good things to keep God happy, what happens when you have real, real suffering? You'll do one of two things. You'll either say, God, I don't deserve this, or you'll say, God, I do deserve this. You'll either say, God, I've been good. I go to worship. I read the Bible. I pray. I take care of my family. I've been faithful to my spouse. I've done it all. I don't deserve this. God, you owe me something better. Or you'll say, well, I have been bad, so I deserve it all. I'm getting what I deserve. God is punishing me. I've sinned too much, drank too much, been greedy, unkind, rude, skip worship. All these, it's my fault. God's punishing me. And when you and I approach God with this job performance heart, you either blame God or blame yourself. But here we have in plain God's word, you have been justified by faith. You have peace with God. You have peace with God. God loves you so much that he would die for you rather than live without you. And because we are certain of this, of having peace with God, when you enter a season or a time of hardship or suffering that you can't understand or can't explain, somehow God can make a way for you to trust God and rejoice in God even in that difficult trial. So if I were to write this, I would say we can even possibly maybe rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So follow that trail that he writes about. Suffering leads to endurance, which leads to character, which leads to hope. If you suffer long enough and you make it through, you're a survivor, right? You have endured. And enduring and making it through, your character emerges and your character grows. And when your character emerges and your character grows, it leads you through Christ, it leads you to hope. Now, I won't stand up here and say I understand this, because I actually don't. I love it, but I don't understand it. And I know if you're right in the middle of a heavy time, that this is hard. But if you follow the trail, somehow what begins as suffering can lead to hope. And the trail goes right through Jesus. It goes right through Lent, and it goes right through Jesus, who walked the lonely road to the cross for you and died for you. When you know that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, at the end of the reading says, while we were still sinners, Jesus died for you. When you get to a hard time of real suffering, you can say, God, I don't understand this. This is hard, but I know that you love me. And I know that you love me enough to bleed and die for me. And so while I don't understand this and I can't explain this, I know that you still love me. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Maybe, possibly, we can then rejoice in our suffering. I'll end with a story that tells you a bit about that. 9 years ago, in 2008, Christian singer and songwriter Stephen Curtis Chapman and his family had a devastating loss. I know some of you know this story. Their 5-year-old daughter, Maria, was struck and killed when their 17-year-old son backed their car out of the family's driveway. Tragic. And Chapman shared after his daughter's death, he said that he reconsidered all of the words to all of the songs, and he wondered whether he could sing any of them, and he said he wondered if he even believed any of those words anymore. And after, which is very biblical, by the way, read the Psalms. There's a lot of good, godly people that say that. After a months-long hiatus, he was able to return to singing, but in a very different way. And his song entitled Yours addresses how everything in the world belongs to God. And you read the verses, it talks about from the streets of London to the dirt roads of Uganda to the sidewalks in Nashville to the walkways in Shanghai or Manila and all the people, that they're all yours, God. And then he said, in this song and in that season, he came to a new realization that there's not an inch of creation that God doesn't look at and say, it's all mine. And so in that season, he wrote another verse to that song. And here's what he wrote. I've walked the valley of death's shadow, so deep and dark that I could barely breathe. I've had to let go of more than I could bear, and I've questioned everything that I believe. Still, even here in this great darkness, a comfort and a hope comes breaking through as I can say in life or death, God, we belong to you. You have been justified by faith. You have peace with God. Maybe, possibly, we rejoice in our sufferings. In Jesus' name, amen.